love Christmas, and one of the things I love about Christmas, I know you love about Christmas too, and that is the giving and receiving of gifts. How many of y'all love to get gifts? You like just to receive them, man. You just spirit of reception. That's your spiritual gift. If somebody want to give a gift, you're like, Lord Jesus, I've got the gift of receiving, right? Anybody? Yeah, there you go. That's everybody in the house. How many of y'all just love to give gifts, though? Anybody just, you just like, you're so thoughtful, like you like to make gifts and then give them? Well, man, I have a gift for somebody very special in the house tonight. It's one of my buddies, my boy Josiah Jones. Josiah, why don't you go ahead and come up on the stage real quick? Y'all give Joe a hand. Give him a hand. Now, so Josiah, you know, some gifts like the bunny suit are awkward, but then some gifts are awesome. And Josiah, I poured my heart, my soul, my time, my energy, and my effort into this gift. And I've been listening to you, brother. I've been watching your wardrobe. You're missing one vital piece. And, you know, everything else is on fleek. You got it going on, brother. I'm taking notes, right? Everybody else, yeah. Like, you've heard of Jack Threads. This is Josiah Threads. That's what I'm trying to get. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, so I wanted to give this to you. This is from the Glover House. So go ahead and open that up. And it's an Apple Watch, man. Yeah, y'all give Joe a hand. I expect you to be wearing that. That's actually the Apple Watch 3. Y'all haven't heard about that yet, but it's coming out. So I know you've been saying you've been wanting that Apple Watch, man. So just from my heart to you, man. Giving and receiving gifts, man. Man, my mama gave me this gift like 2 years ago. And I was like, you know, you ever got that gift and you're like the pink bunny suit, like everybody got the Aunt Josephine, right? That she always gives you like jams and vintage sweaters, you know, and you're like, Aunt Josephine. And she's like, don't you love it? You know, she smells like mothballs and other kinds of stuff and essentials. And she's like, she creeps me out. Anyway, my mom gave me this gift, man. It's like the pink bunny suit. And it's that awkward thing. Like when your mom gives you something and you open it up, man, it's just kind of like, thanks, mom. Like you pretenders out there, right? And so she gave me this necklace, and like I like jewelry, but the particular necklace that she gave me was just a little bit not my cup of tea. And so it was like a silver chain, which, you know, I like silver chains, man, you know, sterling silver, but it had this big piece on it, you know, like a big, like just a like a thick dog tag, like a stainless steel, I'm talking an 1/8-inch thick dog tag that had this this Christian fish cut out, you know, the Ithacus, you know what I'm talking about, cut out of it, and then she had my name engraved on the back of it. She was so excited to give that to her baby boy. And so she gave it to me, and she's like, go ahead, you know. And I'm like, oh, wow, thanks, Mom, you shouldn't have, right? And so, like, I mean, she probably locked me into this era. Like, we've all had that gangster era, you know what I'm talking about? Like, mine was in middle school, and so I'm listening to, like, Master P, UGK, Tupac, Notorious B.I.G., the OG. Some of y'all don't even know what real rap music is. And so I'm back in that day. Man, had my ears pierced. I'm wearing a sweater vest with no shirt underneath, just, you know, keeping it classy, but, you know, keeping it trashy, too, you know what I'm saying? And so, like, but my mom, I guess she had locked me in, because back in the day, like, when I was wearing JNCOs, Doc Martens, K-Swisses, and sweater vests with my two hoop earrings, like, I probably would have rocked the medallion, right? I'd be like, yeah, what's up? See Glove in the house, right? But, like I think I was 27 when my mom gave me this, and I'm like, Mom, I'm a dad now, and I've got a wife, and I drive a minivan. Like, we're not rocking these things, right? So, man, but I love Christmas, because when we get gifts around Christmas, it demands a response from us, right? Like, I mean, like, you get a gift and you have to have some sort of response to the gift. You receive it, and then however you receive that is really, you know, it's kind of fun to watch people, and it's kind of funny to watch people as well. Well, I want to tell you a story tonight about a young lady who was given a gift. Perhaps the greatest gift of all mankind was given to this young girl. And I want to draw your attention to the way that she responds to this gift. So if you're taking notes tonight, I've titled this message, What's Your Response? Turn to your neighbor right now. Just touch him on the shoulder and say, what's your response? Go ahead. And now turn to your second choice, your other neighbor, whoever that is. Don't take offense and say, hey, what's your response? Yeah, there you go. Just loving on people. Love it. Now, if you type A in the house tonight, you're taking notes. I know that's not the title that's on the notes, but go ahead and scratch that out and write in. What's your response? If you have a copy of God's Word, I want to invite you to turn to the Gospel of Luke. If you're new to the Bible, Luke is going to be at the tail end of the Bible. So if you turn like right in the middle, if you're in an old school Bible, you'll find the book of Psalms, biggest book in the Bible. Just keep heading towards the back. You'll stumble upon Malachi, which is the last book of the First Testament, and then you'll roll right into Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. Good job. And so for all my Skywalker fans out in the house, who's excited about Rogue Nation, right? Golly, that's what I'm talking about. Anyway, and so we're going to be in the Gospel of Luke tonight. Now, we're going to be in the first chapter. I want to tell you a little bit about Luke because I love the Gospel of Luke for the reason of who the author is. Now, I studied biology in my undergraduate, so I've got a BS in biology. And I love Luke because Luke is a doctor. And so his approach to the Gospels is one that kind of comes with an analytical mind, okay? And so some of you, like you know who you are. And so when you approach life, you're like, all right, I'm trying to get as unbiased as possible. I'm trying to get straight to the facts. And so Luke was actually sponsored by a guy named Theophilus, a rich dude that we don't really know a whole lot about, but he sponsored Luke to write the Gospel of Luke and then also to write the book of Acts. And so Luke, he's doing interviews. He's kind of trying to get, you know, what's the word on the street about this guy named Jesus? And so he's getting all this information, and then he's actually paid by Theophilus to write about the story of Jesus. And I love this because Luke has this approach that really resonates with people who again, are in an analytical mindset, who maybe have a few doubts about faith or maybe a little bit skeptical. He's like, look, I'm trying to be as unbiased as possible. I have no dogs in the fight. I'm just trying to get paid by Theophilus and write what I have heard to be the most amazing story in all of mankind. And so he's going to tell about a significant event that happened in the life of a young girl whose name is Mary. And we're going to look at that story tonight. And I believe we can look at the response of Mary to this some incredible news, to this gift that she's been given. And if we can begin to allow her response to begin to resonate with our 21st century mind, then it can begin to challenge the way that we approach our faith. It can begin to challenge the way we approach the Christmas season. I believe so boldly, I believe so radically that if you could lean in, listen up, and buy into what God's trying to say to you tonight, that you may even leave differently than the way you came. Because see, I serve a God who changes people's lives, and he does that through the proclamation of his word, and his spirit fills it, energizes it, and changes hearts. And so I challenge you to lean in, listen up, and see what God's got for you tonight. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, that's one of Mary's family members, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever." And check this out, "and his kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how's this going to happen? I'm a virgin." And the angel replied, "Good question. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." And then Mary responded, "I'm the Lord's servant, and may everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. So 2 weeks ago, we kicked off this series called Christmas in the Movies. And during Christmas in the Movies, we looked at this great reality that God has become a man. Josiah did such a great job of introducing this great, profound theological truth in this word, incarnation. What that means is that the God of the galaxies, the God of the universe, he spoke things that we cannot even imagine into existence. He decided to step into human history through the man Jesus Christ. And so we looked at this story of the Grinch, where Cindy Lou Who goes up to the Grinch's mountain in the hope that she can get into his world. She literally incarnated into the Grinch's nasty dump place, and she wanted to do that so that she could begin to allow his heart, which was 10 sizes too small, to enlarge, and so he could get a little bit of the Christmas joy. And we related that to this profound truth that God has stepped into human history. He has stepped onto the pages of human history, and that God has become a man. And I love this because, like this is incredible. I love that, like, that when we look at all the other major religions, all the other faith stories, none of them have this written into its pages. Like, you could not make this up in the culture that these people lived in. And I love this because all other attempts to get to God, all other religions are about a man doing something, walking an eightfold path, following five spiritual truths, praying so many times a day, and reaching out and trying to climb a mountain to a God. But we serve a God, and we believe that Jesus Christ stepped out of his holy throne into humanity so that he can make a way for us to have relationship with him. Only in the gospel do you find such radical love that God would leave all of his glory, all of his convenience, all of his comfort to step down and get into our mess. And I love this truth. Oh, may it grab your heart. And when we see God doing this, what he's saying to us is the ball's in your court. You know what I'm saying? Turn to your neighbor and say, the ball's in your court. So when God's saying, he's saying, look, I've done what you couldn't do. The ball's in your court. That's just a way of saying it's your move. It's the gift that's been given, the greatest gift of all mankind. What's your response? And so we looked at one of those responses last week. Josiah introduced this profound, if you don't have like a memory verse that you're working on and that ain't your thing, this is a short one. It's like an easy win. John 3:30. He must become greater, #greater. Maybe this way, I don't know. And you must become less. #less, all right? It's easy. That's it. John 3:30. Memorize it. Let it own you. He must become greater. I must become less. Josiah said this. He said it like Bieber. If you like the way you look so much, then you can go on and love yourself. Thank you, Bieber fans. You know who you are. I just got you right there. And he said, and see how that works out for you, that we have the tendency to be so selfish. But we need to live a life. One of the responses to the profound reality that God has come is that we point people to Christ like John the Baptizer did, and that we live a life that he must become greater and I must become less. And so now I want to look at another response of how this young girl responds to this profound reality, this vision of this angel, and what can we learn from Mary? So what we see here is that, first of all, that she responds legitimately. I love that Mary is not like, we have this view of the Bible oftentimes that there's just dumb backwoods, like just blind believers, you know, like blind faith, like just, and these weren't cerebral people. They weren't analytical like we are and sophisticated like the millennial, you know, like, I mean, for some reason, oftentimes we judge people like Mary, like she's just dumb. She didn't know any better. That's why God chose her, right? But we see here, oh, au contraire. She responds legitimately, like this angel shows up. And I love this. It says that she was confused in verse 29. She was confused and disturbed. Some of your translation says she was troubled. I love this because this word troubled, it means it's terizo in the Greek language. And it literally means that she was filled with anxiety. She's like, man, I've been watching too much Paranormal Activity. Madea's Boo Halloween that got me all jacked up, man. You know, like these angels showing up. Did I eat too many burritos at Taco Bell because they got them things? And then I shouldn't have ate that. I mean, what's going on? And like, she's like, ah, you know, she freaked out, right? I mean, she is troubled. Like my translation, she is confused and disturbed. Like this is, she's like, angels don't show up to people's places, man. I can't tell nobody, but I'm freaked out. Her response is legitimate. Not only was she troubled, man, she wondered is what some of your translations. Now, this is not really a great, like, she was like, this is wonderful. Like an angel, and I'm wondering what, you know, she wasn't like that. It was more like, what is going on? She was like, my Princess Diary fans, shut up, right? I mean, she's like, what is going on here, right? And so like this word wondered is, it's an accounting term, you number people. It literally means to make an audit. Some translations means to have an inner dialogue conversation. You know that we all have an inside voice? And if you don't get anything out of tonight, it's good to keep your inside voice on the inside, okay? All right, don't look at the person that always says what they think. That'd be weird. Just blink at me if you're sitting next to them. Right? And so all this happens, and Mary, not only is she like afraid and a little bit like, oh my gosh, what's this happening? She's on the inside going, what is going on? What does this mean? I mean, she's just rolling through all this stuff. So her response is legitimate, man. In a sense, like, she is doubting what's going on. And so in a sense, Mary, the mother of Jesus, check this out, is doubting. Now, I love this because we see one of the most significant players on the stage of Christianity filled with some doubt. And maybe some of you have come in here, and when you hear some of the claims of Christ, like some of you, maybe you come in here, and when you see like born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died a death on a cross, rose from the grave, you're just kind of like, really? I don't know. 7-day creation. And maybe you have some real questions about the faith. Welcome. See, an unquestioned faith is a weak faith. And if your doubts, if they lead you to despair, I'm sorry. But let your doubts lead you to find answers. I remember when I was in high school, when I was 16, man, something terrible happened in my family. My dad was incarcerated. And I remember just in that season, just doubting if God was there. And I was so filled with anxiety and worried about what's going to happen. My mom came to me and she said, look, we're not going to have a Christmas this year, and we're probably going to lose our house. And I wish that I could tell a story where God saved the day, but he didn't. My mom moved in with the man that she was sleeping with at the time. My dad was in jail. I got fruit in my stocking, a thrift shop racquetball racket. And we lost our house. But can I tell you that God's word became alive to me in my season of doubt, because I brought my questions to him. And I said, God, are you going to take care of me? And he said, look, Chad, you don't need to worry. You look at the birds and look at the grass, and you need to be sure of this, that I got you. But you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow got enough troubles of his own. You got today, brother. You need to worry about today. And I love this because God is not, he's not taken back by our doubts. And so Mary, she responds legitimately. And then she responds gradually. See, some of you come to faith in an instant, right? Like you were born and your mom was like, baby, Jesus loves you. And your first word was like, hallelujah, right? Like, that's you, right? Like, that's my wife. Like, belief just comes easy, right? And you're like, yes, duh, Jesus, duh. Yeah, it all happened. And I'm there. No questions at all, man. It's just, it is like solid black, white. That's how you see the world. And that's like, my wife is just she just believes, man. She's got a faith just solid, rock solid. And then some of us, like, we come, and when it comes to our faith in Christ, it's been a gradual process. And I love that we see Mary going through this gradual process. And if we were just to be honest, like, some of us may have had a breakthrough in faith, like you may have had a season where God just awoken some things in your life, but we are all in a process tonight, amen? Like, we're all working through some stuff up in here tonight. Can we just be honest? I know it's church, and that's not kosher at church, to be honest, but we're all in a process, and Mary goes through a process. What she says, first of all, is that she has, like, this polite skepticism. So the angel says all this, and she hears, like, God is coming into humanity, like God is going to be in her womb, and she's like, but how's this going to happen? I'm a virgin, right? Basically, what she was saying is like Nacho Libre says, you know, you're crazy, right? You know, I mean, she's like, this is crazy. Sidebar, if you don't quote Nacho Libre at least 2 times a day, you have not experienced abundant life, okay? I'm just kidding. But I love this because she says, like, she's like, this is crazy. But I love that she moves into this statement, and it's amazing that when we see Mary, like she just goes from you're crazy to this simple, okay, Lord, okay. And in verse 38, she says, I am the Lord's servant, and may everything you have said about me come true. See, some of us, we got to have as much information as we can gather in order to take a risk. You know what I'm saying? And then some of us, we just like, all I need is like 2 things and I'm ready to roll. And so like me and my brother Cole, when we were learning how to snow ski, he's more of like the analytical, got to get all the information possible. And so he's like in the pro shop, just like, all right, tell me about that boot. Tell me about that ski. What do these poles do? You know, and I'm like, I need a size 11 and I like the blue ski. And I'm like, all right, let's go, you know? And so he's just like, and then he's out there like, you know, getting it all strapped on and he's clicking in his skis and you know, and then he's like, I'm going to be over on the green slopes just kind of working on my pizzas and my turns, you know, like on flat ground, you know, and like 3 days later, like he's still like evaluating this, like picking up the snow, you know, I'm like, what are you doing? And so he's analyzing it. I'm like, just take a risk. Like, let's just go on the blue, on the black, and let's just have fun. Like me, I'm just like, I'm clicking into my ski as I'm getting on the ski lift going up to a blue or a black. I'm like, hey, we're just going to figure this thing out. I got skis. I got my boys. I'm young and I got a waterproof jacket. I'm ready to roll, right? And so like for him, he never experiences the thrill of we could just say like controlled falling down the blue slope is what I was doing. Like, but he never experiences the thrill of going fast, so fast that you can't really even see. And you're like, I'm going to die and hit a tree, but this is awesome, you know. He never experienced that because he's trying to analyze everything. And a lot of us, when it comes to faith in Christ, you're trying to get as much information as you can before you will ever take a step. What other questions about Christianity do you need answered before you'll at least take a risk of faith? Like, what's holding you back? What's keeping you from just simply coming to the point in your life where you just say, okay, Lord, I'm the Lord's servant, and may everything you have said about me come true. See, I imagine Mary, like she had some ideas for her life, but she was trusting that maybe God had some ideas for her life too. Like I would imagine Mary's just like a lot of you girls and just like even guys, just like a lot of us when it comes to life in the sense of like we grow up dreaming about what our life will be and now we're young adults and we're trying to make it happen, amen? And so we're trying to get out there and hustle and I would imagine that Mary had some dreams about her life, but in this moment she's saying, okay, God, this is not in my plan. But God, I'm more interested in your dreams coming true in my life than I am my own dreams coming true in my life. And maybe she looked back at a night when she was laying on her back and looking up at the stars at night and just wondering. You ever gaze at the stars at night and you just feel so small? And you're just like, who's out there? Like, what's all of this? And maybe she remembered a story that she had been told growing up as a little girl about a guy named Job who had gone through some terribly difficult things, and he had begin to ask a lot of really crazy questions. Like, he is the chief doubter, if you want to talk about somebody that was doubting and asking questions, hard questions, in the scripture. And it's part of the wisdom literature in the First Testament, in the Old Testament. And so, but I love this because towards the end of the book of Job, God speaks to Job, and maybe Mary was recollecting that God spoke to this guy named Job and said, look, Job, I know some things you don't know. Like there are some things that I made happen that you weren't even aware that were happening. There are wolves howling on the other side of the Siberian tundra that you don't even know about wolves in the Siberian tundra. That my ways are higher than your ways, Job. As high as the heavens are above the earth. And maybe Mary's going, you know what? Maybe God's got something going on here. Maybe she was recollecting about a guy named Abraham, who's like the George Washington of the Hebrews, right? Like Abraham's like the father of their faith. And so maybe she was recollecting about Abraham who was called to leave a land. And she was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Abraham, God came to Abraham and he said, hey, Abraham, I need you to leave your safe place. I need you to do something. And Abraham was like, hold up, bro. Let me get that destination. What's the address? I'm going to go ahead and put it in this Google map so we can get the camels headed in the right direction. And God's like, I'm not giving you the destination. Because, see, God was more interested with Abraham and he's more interested with you. He's more interested in the journey, not the destination. And Mary, it was all making sense, and she's like, you know what, but God, I have some, like you could imagine, like, girls, you know what I'm talking about, like you imagine a young girl who, she is engaged to Joseph, and she, like I know some of you girls already, you've already picked out the dress, you've already picked out the ring, you've already named your children, you've got all your bridesmaids on, like, on speed dial, and you ain't even got a man. You know who I'm talking about, right? Like, I mean, girls, like, you just grow up excited to get to your wedding day. And this culture was no different. Like, maybe Mary just had these big visions of wanting to get married to Joseph, and they were going to have two children, one boy named Joe, one girl named Mary. They were going to get Mary a little lamb that was white as snow, and everywhere that little Mary went, that lamb would go. And she was going to get a 3-2 house with a seaside view in Galilee, a 3-camel garage, and then that little side garage, you know, like for the golf cart, you know, like the little golf camel, you know, like just you ride, you know, like the little miniature one. And so, like, and she just had it all mapped out. It's going to be awesome. And then God said, time out. Change of plan. And she simply said, okay, Lord. Okay. Back in July, Josiah called me. I was getting ready to preach in Houston, Texas, H-Town, holding it down. Anyway, I was getting ready to preach a street church in Houston, Texas with transvestites and homosexuals. I mean, it was awesome, man. Like, the kingdom of heaven was there, and God moved. People got saved. It was amazing. And he called me up right before I was getting ready to take the stage, which was the sidewalk. And he said, hey, bro, I don't know if you're interested, but we're opening up a staff position with Paradigm Young Adult Ministry, and I'd love for you to pray and consider that. I'm like, all right, well, you know, tell me a little bit more about it. And so he tells me, you know, it's an Abundant Life church. I'm like, that's funny because the theme of this week is called Abundant Life. Okay, Lord. And I just start praying and we start talking. And, man, we went through several weeks of dialogue and interview and all this stuff. We came up here in September, loved every bit of it, man. Josiah and Kathy, man, they treated us so well. They were so hospitable. My Booberry and Cocoa Puffs, Chelsea, we went to the Starlight, caught a concert. Man, we went to McLean's. We had meetings, got to hang out with Pastor Phil, who's the real deal. Pastor Phil is what I like to call him. I just made that up. Anyway, and so, I mean, we just loved everything about it. We loved the church. We loved it all. And then, but as we were coming home, we were like, man, this is not an easy decision. And actually 2 days after we got back home, I called Josiah up. Excuse me, my voice is, I'm still nursing yet. It left me last week. It's back now though. I called Josiah up and I said, hey bro, I just don't know if this is the wisest choice for us to come up here. And he was like, did we just break up? You know, I'm just kidding. He didn't say that. He asked me some hard questions. He said, well, why? And I said, man, my wife's pregnant. It's almost 9 hours from family. Everything's going really good where we're at. I've got a staff. God's moving. He said, well, what about, you know, those passages in Scripture that say to count the cost, brother? I'm like, come on, Josiah. Like, y'all know, like, some of y'all know Josiah way too well. He is not going to let you get away with nothing. And praise God that he is a man of God that will constantly call you back and hold your feet to the fire of the word. That's what he did to me. I said, bro, I know those scriptures. I've memorized them. I preached them. He said, all right, man. About 5 weeks pass. And I'm still wrestling. My wife's wrestling individually. I'm wrestling. I'm like, man, I just had that feeling, like every message I preached, every pregame speech I gave to the football team about being courageous and getting out there and living a life and seizing opportunity for the glory of God. God was saying, look, bro, you need to try smoking what you're selling. You know what I'm saying? Like he said, maybe you need to apply what you're preaching to your own life. It seemed like every message I was preaching, I felt like I was sinning and I wasn't doing anything wrong because I wasn't following what God wanted for me. So I called Josiah up about 4 or 5 weeks later. I said, look, bro, I have not had closure about this decision. Don't know. I need closure from you, brother. And he says, well, it's still available. And they made an offer the next day, and we said yes. We put on the altar. We sacrificed our comfort and our convenience. We came to this spot. This is not an easy, it was a gradual process for Mary that day, and it was for us in our life as we're following Jesus to just come to the place where you say, okay, Lord. And I love this because in the gradual response, she moves from, this is crazy, to, okay, Lord, to this point where she's like, you know what, this may actually be real. If you read on, right following this passage, you see that she goes and she sees her family member Elizabeth. And when she sees Elizabeth, Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is so excited to get to meet Jesus in the womb. This is so weird that he literally leaps for joy inside of her womb. May it be said of my children that they did that. That'd be awesome. I don't know if they are. But anyway, John the Baptist, he was fired up within the womb. And Elizabeth speaks life into Mary. And it's this point where Mary's her experience with the angel, she's responded kind of like legitimately, like, what's going on here, Lord? And then she's kind of had this gradual, you know, this is crazy, okay. And then when she gets into the presence of her community, it's when the faith begins to get real for her. When she gets into the presence of another believer that speaks life into her, it's when it gets real and confirmed for her. Can I just be real? We need each other. We need each other. Some of you have come in here and you're a Mary tonight. You come in here and your faith is on the line. You're just walking. You're just like, I don't know. I'm not sure what God's doing. And you need an Elizabeth to speak into your life and say, look, bro, I know what God's doing in you. I can see it. You may not be able to see it, but I can see what God's doing in you. Blessed are you. God is working inside of you. And some of you have come in here, you need to be an Elizabeth to somebody. You need to see those Marys. You know, like you're here tonight and you're like, man, I can't believe that dude is here. I've been inviting him. I mean, like, and you're not looking at him like judgy like a lot of Christians do. We're not that here. You're looking at him like excited. And you need to go to that person and you need to say, look, I see what God is doing. And you need to be that voice of encouragement. We need community. And we need each other to speak faith into each other's lives. What it says in Hebrews is that we got to get surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses so that we can cast off the sin that so easily entangles us and run the race of perseverance. So if you hadn't signed up for a community group, Next Steps table's waiting on you after the service. I love, she responds legitimately, then she responds gradually, and then she makes this turn after she gets with Elizabeth, and it sinks deep in the heart. She responds passionately. And we have this beautiful work of literature that Mary, she busts out in this beautiful song. It's called the Magnificat. It's called Mary's Song of Praise, and here's what it says. She says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. And he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. And he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, to his offspring forever. And like she's moving from, like she's not white knuckling her faith, man. She is like passionately enthralled with Jesus and with God, so much so that she's raising her hands up in the air like she just don't care, because ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party don't. Hello, you know what I'm saying? And so she is just fired up. And she responds passionately. The truth has moved from her head. She was once thoughtful about this. She was once, you know, auditing what has happened, and it has dropped the 18 inches down into her heart. She is recklessly abandoned. I have been arrested by the King of Kings, and his glory is all up on me. And he has changed my story. And I had some dreams for my life, but God has rewritten the story of my life, and he is making his dreams come true. And this is her response to the gift. I love this because what she's saying is what we're trying to do as Abundant Life. One of the things, one of our core values is all of me for all of him. And she comes before God and she's saying, God, everything about me is all about you. I love that she's like the way that she says this right in the first part of the song. She says that my soul praises the Lord. Oh, how my spirit rejoices in God. She's saying everything. I love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength. And I love the phrase that she chases it with. In one translation, it says it like this. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Like she is flabbergasted at the fact that she was chosen by God. Like there's a couple of ways that you can respond to this question. Are you a Christian? Like some of us are like, yeah, of course I'm a Christian. Can you not see? I wear shirts that say like a breadcrumb and a fish instead of Abercrombie and Finch. You know, like I'm learning to play the guitar. I've read at least one Francis Chan book. I don't watch rated R movies unless they're, you know, historical or about Jesus. And, you know, I use cuss words like dingle fob and you know, frappuccino and, you know, things like that. Like I've made up my own words, you know, and I say things when people say, how are you doing? I say things like, blessed by the best. Yeah, I'm a Christian. See, when we act like that, we act like we've done something. All we've done is responded to something. See, God did everything for everyone so that no one would think that they're a someone in the kingdom of heaven. And so when you're asked, are you a Christian, we need to take the posture of Mary in this. She's like, I'm the lowly servant girl. Are you a Christian? Yes, I am, but it's amazing. Like, yes, I know the God that created Pluto. I know him. It's amazing. Me. And if you knew me, I have no business having a relationship with God. And so it's this posture that Mary has. She's like, my soul, everything about you, God. And she said, why chose me? I'm so lucky. And so the Christian shouldn't walk around with his chest up, like with a swag, like Jesus, my homeboy. The Christian walks out with his hands out because he received salvation. He didn't earn it. So what does this have to do with you tonight? Where are you at tonight? Some of you have come in here, and I have no idea what you've brought in here, but God knows. And what can we take away tonight? I want to challenge you that you can be like, how can we be like Mary? You can be like Mary in this one truth, that you respond to the gift and you take your next step. But what's your next step? Because see, here's the reality. Everyone has to do something with Jesus tonight. Everyone has to do something. Whether you believe Jesus or not, you have to understand that Jesus is a real person who stepped in history. Like the calendar changed upon his arrival. More books have been written. More songs have been sung. More paintings have been painted about Jesus than any other man in human history. He is hands down the most influential person in all of humanity. And history demands that you respond to him in some way. And some of you come in here and you have doubts, and that's okay. Maybe you were told back in your youth group or your children's ministry or your church that you have no business having doubts in the house of God. Au contraire, my friend. The mother of Jesus had doubts. The mother of Jesus called Jesus crazy when he started his ministry. And if you have some doubts in here, do something with your doubts. Don't let them turn you to despair, but allow them to provoke you to get answers. So maybe you just need to take a next step and begin to search a little bit more. Or maybe some of you have come in here and faith, it's something that maybe you've been attending for a while, but you just hadn't, like you haven't made that step. Like you've been calculating, you've been getting all the deals, but you haven't got on the blue slope or the black slope and taken the risk of faith. You haven't come to the point where you just said, I'm yours, Lord. Here I am. And maybe tonight, like you're feeling that faith come alive in you. And so maybe tonight you take a next step because you're coming to God saying, God, not my dreams, but God, let your dreams be real. Let your dreams come to pass in my life. I'm laying it down. I'm surrendering to you. Well, take a next step. What's your response? Maybe some of you've come in here tonight and you, like, you're not doubting. You're in the faith, but you just haven't sold out. Like, you're not passionately enthralled. And maybe God's awakening that inside of you, and you're like, God, I want you so much, God. And this is the ambition of Christ. This is the end game, that we would be passionately enthralled by the glory and the magnificence and the supremacy of the God of the universe. So much so that we would make much of him with our lives, that we wouldn't be controlled by some man, or we wouldn't be controlled by some woman. Those are great things, but they make terrible gods. Amen. That we wouldn't be controlled by money, by fame. We wouldn't be controlled by our aspirations and our goals. Those are good things, but those aren't ultimate things. That our one consuming passion would be Jesus Christ. And we would have those seasons in our life when we erupt in song and we praise him. And maybe that's the step you need to take tonight. But maybe some of you here tonight, you're like, Chad, just to be real, man, I've been taking steps, but I keep falling. And it's just to be honest, man, I'm a little tired. And I, some of you are here tonight and you feel like you've fallen down. You try to take a next step and you have this picture that God's just like this. Seriously. What's wrong with you? One of my greatest treasures in life are my kids, man. My Lydia, my Elizabeth, and soon to be Anna Joy. And one of the greatest things about being a dad is getting to see your kids take their first steps. Now, it's a little bit awkward. Like, my Lydia, she wasn't like, you know what, Father, I think today I'm going to walk. You know, it's like she wasn't calculated. She's like, you know, toddler, big head, you know, pulling up on something, and then that head and hair goes this way, and she's like, goo, goo, boom, right? And like, my wife and I, we're just like, our baby's walking. You know, we're putting together cheers. We're calling Dee Dee and T-Pops and Grandma. We're baking cupcakes, getting cookies, getting the camera out. We're videotaping it. I mean, it is like epic celebration. My baby's taking steps. Now, how crazy would it be if you came to my house when my Lydia or my Elizabeth took their first steps and you saw me do like this, like they took their first steps and fell, and I was just like, gee whiz. You're pathetic, right? You're just like your mom. I mean, you're never going to walk. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, you'd be like, this guy is a jerk, all right? Call CPS, right? And some of you, like, that's your view of God tonight. Like, you think, like, you fell somewhere along your path. And you think God is looking at you like, oh my, what's wrong? Like, no, but God is not doing that. Listen. God never tires from picking you up, and he always celebrates when you walk. He's a good father. And he's eager to rush to you and help you get back on your feet so that you can take your next step. See, we can have strength to surrender to Christ because he surrendered to the cross. He was beat down so that we could get up. He took a step back so that we could take a step up. He became a curse so that we could become blessed. He became rubbish so that we could become royal. The gift has been given. What's your response? Every head bowed and every eye closed. just want to ask you a question. Ask you a few questions, and then I'm going to pray, let you respond. I think the prayer team's going to come up front tonight. Maybe some of you are here tonight and you are really gripped by doubt. Maybe the whole idea of Christianity, you're having a tough time. And maybe tonight, like, maybe you just seek out some answers. You just get honest. We're not scared of your questions, just to be real. The church, Christianity, has stood the test of time through lots of really smart people. And there's lots of really smart people that are alive today that love Jesus. So maybe you just need to take that next step. Maybe some of you are here tonight and you haven't made your faith public. And as you're reflecting about the story of Christ, the gift of Jesus, you're like, look, I believe all this. What am I doing? Like, I need to tell somebody. And your next step is that you just need to go forward or go to the next steps table and say, look, I'm in. I'm a believer. I need to tell somebody. Let's go. Maybe tonight you just need to, as we close in a song, you just need to abandon your inhibitions, your dignity. You just need to hold your arms out wide and say, Lord Jesus, you are more than I ever imagined. And maybe you need to return to your first love tonight. And you need to make a fresh commitment that I am passionately enthralled with the King of Glory. The gift has been given. What's your response? Wherever you are, know that God wants you to get back up. He wants you to take a step. So you do what God is telling you to do. And let's allow God to change our hearts, change this building, change our city and this world. Lord Jesus, you are amazing. God, you are the King of Glory. You came from heaven to earth to show us the way, God. You died the death that we deserved so that we could inherit the promise that you hold. God, I pray for the young man that's here tonight. Pray for the woman that's here tonight that has some serious questions. That they would get honest. Oh, God, that they would seek you out. God, I pray for the person that's here tonight and they're just kind of teetering, riding the fence, that they would sell out all in. God, we would see men and women passionately pursuing Jesus Christ. That this building would become white hot with worship for your name and renown. God, that we would see freedom break out from the individual lives that have brought in dysfunction tonight. That there would be women that are free from anxiety and worry and fear tonight. There would be men that are free from sexual addiction tonight. There would be families that are restored and redeemed. God, that you would make people whole. God, there would be physical ailments that are healed tonight. And God, we would be a living proof of a loving God to a watching world. Oh God, that you would move and that we would respond for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name I pray.